Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Welcome in. Are you ready?
Your what? Time is up, my time is now. You can't
yeah.
see me, my time is now. It's a bright light where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
In case you forgot or fell off, I'm still hot, knock your shell off. My money stacked back, but I can't turn the swell off. The franchise
yeah.
doing big business. I'm living this, it's automatic. I win this, so you hear those horns, you finish. A soldier,
yeah.
and I stay under you fighting. Plus I'm storming on these drums like I'm thunder and lightning. Ain't no way.
Doing great, man. What's happening?
I was letting the intro flow, man, because I got to make sure that you were on the line, man, all that fun stuff. And, of course, welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, of course, joined by your second host, Robert Ford. And today is Wednesday, August the 15th. We got a lot of stuff to jump into. Obviously, you know how the drill works. Talking Sports with the 12th Man is live. And let's jump right into it, as always, as yours truly will always set the table. We're going to talk about some Major League Baseball news. We're going to talk about Melky Cabrera. Felix Hernandez, which actually happened tonight. And we're going to talk
perfect
about
game.
Steven Strasburg. Yeah, perfect game, yeah. We're going to talk about some NBA news. Obviously, we would not be remiss if we didn't jump into some Dwight Howard talk and something about Andrew Bynum and his desire to stay with the 76ers. Some new stuff that I added to Rob. I don't know if he'll like to talk about this, but Honey Badger, don't play that. We're going to talk about something with LSU. I know I had to throw that in there. We're going to talk about some NFL news, obviously, with a big injury to Jason Witten. We're going to talk about some risk-reward stuff. Obviously, Chad Johnson, you got to know what's going on with that, him getting cut by the Dolphins, a lot of things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about which NFL teams have the most and the least depth. And we're going to recap week one of the preseason, and a special thing we're going to talk about is the Olympic recap. So we got a lot of things to talk about. First and foremost, Robert Ford, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Doing great, man. I'm a little tired from working out today, but hey, man, we got to do it. Let's get this party started.
As always, man, we appreciate that. First and foremost, I want to talk real quick about if you want to call into the show, the number to call in, it is 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. Always like us on Facebook. That's the Talking Sports with 12th Man. And also follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. And you guys have been incredible. We want to thank everyone that's actually joined us for the Fantasy Football League. We had 12 open slots. Those slots are actually filled up. So if we get a little bit more, we'll maybe add a secondary league. But for right now, thank you for everyone that's listening to the show. We appreciate that. And also, we do have some open slots. We're going to talk about that more later in the show as far
yes.
as survival football. And
survival
and
college pick'em. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have a lot of things going on, too. But, yeah, a lot of things. But like I said, let's talk about kind of jump into some Major League Baseball news. And as I mentioned earlier, just happened tonight, Felix Hernandez getting the perfect game. Rob Ford, you want to talk about this a little bit? Pretty exciting news for this front.
Oh, yes. I mean, I definitely congrats to Felix. Perfect games don't come around that often. And most pitchers are lucky just to have one in a career. And so, yeah, I mean, you got to give him a lot of credit against a solid ball club and the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, getting that perfect game and astounding performance. And congratulations again to Felix on that performance.
Good stuff as well. Yeah, and this is some we're going to switch gears. And as mentioned, definitely congratulations to Felix as well. That's pretty exciting news for him. Pretty interesting as well. We're going to talk about another pitcher, Steven Strasburg, if you haven't heard the news. You kind of hear that the Washington Nationals are believing in shutting him down. I guess he's masked his innings pitched, if you will, and
yes.
they decided to shut him down. And I don't know if that's a good move for the veterans because I know Lee Mazzoni, obviously pretty big here in the Atlanta area, so that's a pretty dumb decision because, you know, obviously you got teams that are fighting for position. And with Strasburg, obviously, you had definitely a chance to make it to the World Series. So I don't think this is a good move at all, and you're getting like a lot of feedback in the league about this.
Well, yeah, I think it's a really dumb mistake too. When you look at the Washington Nationals, the Braves have been getting hot lately. They're only about 4.5 games back behind the Nationals, and Strasburg has proven that he's one of the better pitchers in the majors. And you just got to ride him. You know, you pay him to pitch. You don't pay him to sit out. And, I mean, they haven't clinched anything just yet. And they want to stay in first place in that division. They better continue to pitch Strasburg, who's definitely their best pitcher. And I just think that's a huge mistake. I know you want to give the guy adequate rest, but you rest him when you get the big lead. If you want to, you know, cut down on his innings pitches, you know, you jump out on an opponent 5-6-0 when he's in the game, then you pull him. But to not pitch him at all, I mean, you're going to need him for this stretch run. Here we got about a month and a half left in the regular season before the postseason starts, and you just have to ride your horse. And he is definitely their ace pitcher on that pitching staff.
Yeah, it's very ironic too. Why some major league baseball teams have, like, you know, are toying around with having six starters, and then, you know, here you got the Nationals. You know, they're kind of playing around with, you know, reducing that to that rotation. But you know, like I said, only time will tell. Obviously, going into the season, I think Strasburg had a 180 inning pitch limit, and I think he's right at about 133. So, you know, we'll see if he's going to get shut down too. So it's kind of one of those situations. I think he's supposed to have a mark of 160 innings pitched to kind of shut him down too. So we'll see how that plays out definitely in the future. Real quick, let's talk a little bit also a bit. Another big news that we haven't heard as well, Melky Cabrera has also been suspended 50 games for allegedly doping, basically some testosterone, I think, that they found in his bloodstream. So that's definitely going to impact the San Francisco Giants. I know we got some fans on the West Coast, so that's not looking good for them. But hopefully, you know, obviously he can try to do some things. But, you know, it looks like he's out, and he's obviously denying that. But very shocking news if you're a Giants fan.
Well, yes, you know, definitely. I think this is going to hurt the Giants here in this stretch run here this season. I think you know, they're one game behind the Dodgers for the NL West lead, and they're also right in the thick of the wild card race with the Braves. And so I think you have to, you know, come to the conclusion, at least in my opinion, that the Giants will not make the playoffs. I mean, I think they're going to fall down. You're talking about a guy who's leading the National League in hits. He has the second highest batting average. He's batting .346. He's got the second highest batting average in the National League. He's 11 home runs, 60 RBIs. He's got 159 hits. He was the All-Star Game MVP. And you're talking about a key contributor to your ball club and stretch run in the season. And, you know, he's come out and apologized. He said he was taking a substance that he should not have been taking. But he definitely has hurt the team. And I would have to say this is just all but ends their chances of making the playoffs. If the season ended today, the Giants would not be in the playoffs. But I think they're definitely going to fall even more now. I mean, but they were right in the thick of things. They were only a game back behind the Dodgers. And they were only a few games behind the Braves for their leading wild card spot.
Yeah, this is a tough break. Obviously, they're playing well. You know, obviously, Melky came in. He was a perfect guy. He was sitting right before Buster Posey. Definitely provides protection around him, too, as well. So it's kind of a tough break. And, I mean, like you said, it's going to be tough for them to make it back. Like you said, you don't think they're going to make it back to the playoffs. Definitely, we'll see how everything plays out. They definitely have a lot of stiff competition, so we can only see how everything ends up working out. But, you know, you definitely feel for him, and he had an amazing season, as you mentioned, whenever you went over those numbers, Rob.
Yeah, and it's actually a little disappointing for me. For those of you all who don't know, the Giants are my favorite National League team. And so this is a team that I pull for out of the National League. You know, I'm a Yankees fan, but the Giants are my National League team. So this is a little disappointing for me as well. So for those of you all out in the Bay Area, hey, you got a fan right here. I'm a Giants fan. I'm a secret Giants fan when it comes to the National League in baseball. So this is a little disappointing for me as well. But, you know, I don't think there's 50 games left in this season, so this suspension is going to even go into next season
next season,
which is really going to hurt the Giants, yes.
Yeah, very sad. Like I said, at least for my West Coast guys, you know that Robert Ford is on your side too, so you don't hurt him too bad.
Oh, they love me out there in the Bay Area now. Yeah, I'm a Giant.
Here we go. We'll see how that plays out. Let's jump into some NBA news. And obviously, if you didn't know, last week was pretty big. this is going on during the Olympics. Dwight Howard goes to the Lakers. And we're going to talk briefly about this. And Robert, if you hopefully have the trade details in front of you, I don't have them right in front of me, too. Obviously, the biggest move is Andrew Bynum goes to the 76ers. I think it was a 5-team trade, if I'm not mistaken. And obviously, there's been some news as far as Andrew Bynum wants to sign an extension. I haven't heard too much as far as what's going to happen with Dwight Howard if he wants to sign that extension with the Lakers. But in your opinion, does this actually make them a team to beat in the West, or do you think that Oklahoma City is still the team to beat in the West?
This is a very interesting topic. I've been listening to a lot of people's comments on who's going to be the better team in the West now. Is it going to be the Lakers? Is it going to be the Thunder? And I have to believe, in my personal opinion, that the Lakers are now the favorite in the Western Conference. And, you just added, if Dwight Howard is healthy, all indications is he's going to miss a little bit at the beginning of the season as he's recovering from his back injury. But if he's healthy in that stretch run in the playoffs and going into the playoffs, this team is, in my opinion, the favorites. You're talking Dwight Howard, you're talking a Pau Gasol post presence, and you're talking Kobe Bryant and Steve Nash. And but I think OKC is a close second in the West. And I won't be surprised if both of those teams in the Western Conference Finals playing a 7-game series. But I would have to lean a little bit more toward the Lakers. And I think if you're the Miami Heat, I think you would want to root for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Because I think the Heat has a better chance of beating the Thunder than they would the Lakers. And there's a couple of reasons why I say that. But I also think the Thunder have a better chance of beating the Lakers than the Miami Heat does, even though I'm still predicting the Lakers to win. The only reason I say the Thunder has a little bit better chance because the Thunder has the beef inside and Kendrick Perkins and Serge Ibaka. They can at least maybe slow those guys down. Serge Ibaka has the athleticism that maybe you can put him on a Dwight Howard. And Perkins, of course, has the beast. He's a beast, and he has the physicality to be physical with Pau Gasol and get him off his game, and so I still think that if a team is going to beat the Lakers, it will be OKC, but I just think Miami just matches up better with OKC, because the one thing about Serge Ibaka and Kendrick Perkins, they're not such a great presence on the offense, so Miami doesn't necessarily have to worry about them defensively. But Miami would have to worry about Dwight Howard and Pau Gasol and, defensively, and they don't have the guys that can guard those guys. And so I would have to say if the Lakers make it to the finals against the Heat, as much as I am a Heat fan, I would have to predict the Lakers to be the world champions next season as it stands right now.
Wow. Pretty interesting thoughts from Mr. Robert Ford. Any Lakers fans, we'd love to get your feedback to see how you feel because, obviously, this is big news. And I guess I'd like to talk to you as well. And for those who want to call in, once again, I'm going to leave the number. It's 424-243-9519. And I'm kind of going off the cuff here, Rob, but do you think this is a better move for the Lakers than getting Chris Paul? Do you think this is actually better? Obviously, you get Steve Nash, but you get Dwight Howard, but is this a better move, you think, long term?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Chris Paul is a heck of a ball player, has incredible heart, but I think if you had the choice of adding Chris Paul or Dwight Howard to your program, you go with Dwight Howard. He just will have a bigger impact on the game. Chris Paul needs weapons around him, but Dwight Howard would just have a bigger impact on the game with his size and presence. And so clearly, if it came down to one of the or the other, I think clearly you take Dwight Howard. There's no doubt about that, in my opinion. And gotcha. For those of y'all for in La La Land, that's happy about this move. I'm predicting they're gonna win, and I'm a Laker hater. I don't want people calling here. Oh, you just love them. I'm a Laker hater, actually. I don't want the Lakers to win a championship. I don't want to see Kobe Bryant get another championship.
Kobe?
That's just how I feel. Are you Kobe fan? I don't want to see him get another championship.
Wow. There you have it right there.
Well, I like rooted for him with Team USA. That's about as far as it goes.
Wow. Put your rest on. Let's talk a little bit more about, obviously, Andrew Bynum. We got about 50 minutes or so. What do you think about Andrew Bynum's decision to he wants to re-up with the 76ers? And also, he moves about Dwight Howard wanting to extend his contract. I don't know if you know anything about that as well.
Well, yes, Dwight Howard has indicated that he's going to see how things go in Los Angeles this year before he decides on whether or not he's going to extend. And so, and plus, he has a better opportunity if he signs next summer, he'll get a bigger contract. So he's going to let this season play out and kind of weigh his options, see how things go in La La Land this year, and, you know, he'll weigh his options if he want to return to Los Angeles. The only other team that could be an option for him next season, well, a couple other teams could be an option as of right now. The Dallas Mavericks and the Atlanta Hawks would have the cap space. And, but all indications are he's going to decide between Dallas and the Lakers next summer. And if everything goes well in La La Land, he will re-up with the Lakers. And let's just be honest here. Teams don't leave. Players, great players just don't leave the Lakers. So I just cannot see him. Even if the Lakers don't win the championship this year, I just can't see him leaving the Lakers. So my prediction is he will re-up with the Lakers next summer. And like I said, the only other team that he's going to consider is the Dallas Mavericks.
There you have it right there. Real quick, what do you think about Andrew Bynum making the decision to continue to re-up his contract with the 76ers?
Yeah, you know, I actually thought Philadelphia was taking a risk by, you know, taking on Andrew Bynum without a commitment for a long-term contract. But they rolled out the red carpet for him in Philly. You know, Andrew Bynum grew up about an hour away from Philadelphia, so it's like a homecoming for him. And he seems to be very ecstatic about the way they've treated him. And they seem to have promised him that he's going to be the focal point of their offense, which he has not had that opportunity. And, you know, of course, in the Lakers, he had to share the ball with Kobe and Pau Gasol. So he's going to be the focal point of the offense in Philly. He seems very excited, and he's all but said he's looking forward to making his long-term home. So I can definitely see, you know, like I said, this is kind of a homecoming for him, and I definitely see him in the Philadelphia 76ers uniform for years to come.
Gotcha. Well, like I said, too much is given, much is required. We'll see how he sets up the plate, because this is not going to be easy if he's the focal point, but it's definitely time for him to actually prove his mettle, as always.
And Philly has some good young players on it. You know, they traded Andre Iguodala to Denver, which, you know, quietly, I think that's also another great move for the Denver Nuggets, and maybe we'll get to that in a second. But Philadelphia has some really good young players. I mean, Drew Holiday, Evan Turner, those guys are some solid ball players. Spencer Hawes, I mean, he lost Elton Brand. And so I still think this is going to be a competitive team. But they traded Andre Iguodala to Denver, and I really like that move for the Denver Nuggets. Anybody that saw Denver in the playoffs, they pushed the Lakers to 7 games. And JaVale McGee was playing outstanding under George Karl. Ty Lawson, Andre Miller playing outstanding. And now they get Andre Iguodala to add to the mix. And also Kenneth Faried, a lot of you all maybe don't know who he is, but he's a extremely athletic young power forward who started a power forward for the Nuggets. I mean, this guy is going to be, he seems to be a Dennis Rodman kind of rebounder that can also score. And so this is a team that I think people ought to watch, and should be one of the more exciting teams in the NBA to watch next season. And like I said, you add Andre Iguodala to the mix. And in Denver, if I'm not mistaken, all they've given up in this deal was Aaron Aflalo or maybe Hal Harrington, and you get Andre Iguodala in return. I think they're another winner in this trade. The really only loser in this trade is the Orlando Magic, in my opinion.
Definitely, yeah. Orlando's like, that's what everyone keeps commenting on the league. I think Atlanta offered them a better deal, too, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't think they wanted to trade them within the division, but you know, I have no idea what they're thinking about, too. So we'll see if, you know, they got some picks that weren't lottery protected. Just a very interesting scenario for the Atlanta Magic. And, you know, I don't know. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
I'm not crying.
They get a big, fat F in this trade. Big, fat F.
Yes. Yep. So, you know, we'll see. All right, switching gears, as we got about 10 minutes left in the show, let's talk a little bit about some NFL news. We're going to talk about Jason Witten had a pretty serious injury. I mean, not serious in that, you know, he's going to be out for the rest of the year, but, you know, he had a lacerated spleen. And we're going to talk about some risk and reward, too. And if I'm not, and I'll let you jump in that, too, Robert, if I was wrong with that, too. We're going to talk some risk and reward, and we're going to talk about, obviously, Chad Johnson, T.O., and Randy Moss. But more or less, let's talk about, you know, some Jason Witten and his injury, Rob.
Well, yes. It's, I mean, as of right now, it looks like this will go into the early part of the regular season. He may miss the first couple of games of the season. And this is a very serious injury. You know, even though right now he's going to miss the rest of the preseason for sure, and maybe a couple of games early in the season. But, you know, the spleen is, you know, is very serious, nothing to play around with. For those of you all to know, the spleen filters the blood, you know, taking out unwanted substances and dead red blood cells. Without a spleen, your body can get infections over and over again. You know, I know you ought to know I was a doctor, America, but there's the information there. And, but, yeah, this is a very serious injury and nothing to play with. And so they're going to have to be real precautious before he gets back out in the football field. And so this is definitely a, you know, a serious injury. Even though, like I said, they're only predicting he's going to go into early part of the regular season, but this is something that they will have to constantly check and make sure he's healthy on a regular basis when you're dealing with the spleen.
I didn't mean to say it wasn't serious as far as, I mean, sometimes everything like a torn ACL or something like that. That's kind of how I meant it. So
yes.
It's a very serious injury too, but not like he's going to be out, I don't think, for the whole season, I wouldn't say.
Exactly.
But,
it's just something they're going to have to monitor on a regular basis. That's all. Yeah.
Gotcha. Real quick, and I didn't mean to skip this out too, and I guess I wanted to talk a little bit, I didn't mean to skip out of this this topic too, Rob. And real briefly, I want to talk about Honey Badger. And obviously, I know he's been in the news, and kind of your thoughts as far as what's going on with him. Do you think he's going to, if this is going to affect LSU in a big way? I don't know if he's still going to be transferring or kind of what you're hearing as far as that from being in New Orleans.
Well, definitely. This is a, you know, it's a sad day for LSU football. It's a sad day for the individual as well. And, you know, I think our hope and prayer is that the kid will turn his life around and recover from this. And, you know, but of course, you know, he's kicked off the football team for 3 failed drug tests. And so, you know, LSU, of course, you know, did the right thing. And, you know, you have to send a message. And hopefully, you know, this is something that, you know, he can grow and learn from. LSU has stated that 20 schools have called to check, you know, and see, if, you know, what happened. Can he transfer to our school? And it seems to be there's only 2 schools that he's considering right now, McNeese State and Nichols State, where he can transfer and play right away. His father has come out and stated that right now we just focus on the individual and him getting his life in order before we decide on the school. And so that seems to be the focal point right now on the matter. On whether or not I think it's going to affect LSU, in my personal opinion, I still have LSU and USC playing for the national championship game. I felt like that before Tyrann Mathieu, and I still feel like that. And there's a couple of reasons why. And LSU is so loaded on defense, it's incredible. I mean, I don't know how far you've looked into next year's draft, but the best defensive end in next year's draft is on LSU's roster, Sam Montgomery. Oh. The number 2 defensive tackle in next year's draft, Benny Logan, is on LSU's roster. The number 1 free safety in next year's draft is on LSU's roster, Eric Reed. The 3rd best middle linebacker in next year's draft, Kevin Minter, is on LSU's roster. The number 1 outside linebacker pass rusher is on LSU's roster, Barkevious Mingo. And they are so loaded with so much physical talent on defense, they could have as many as 5 to 6 first-rounders in next year's draft. And so they're still and Mathieu was never projected on being a first-round pick. He's a great college player, but he was a 2nd, 3rd-round pick in the NFL just because he's a slot guy based on his height. He's not really a great cover guy, but he just makes plays. He forces turnovers. He strips balls. But he's not a great cover corner.
Well, like you said, I mean, that's something I heard, too, that he's not like a first-round draft pick, obviously, but he's definitely an impact player, not only that. Special teams-wise, you know, he's a punt returner. He does some things. And, you know, I'm like, so that's, you know, NFL guys do like that. You know, the fact that you want to see a player that impacts the defense like he has. But like you said, I mean, you don't know. He's only about 5'9", if I'm not mistaken, as far as his height. But, you know, he would have been, I think, a pretty impactful NFL player so far, too. But, you know.
Yeah. And he still can be. I mean, he still can be. You got to look at the kid Jenkins, who got kicked off of Florida's team a year or two ago, transferred to Northern Alabama and St. Louis. You're talking about a kid with a lot of athletic ability. And actually, Jenkins has more overall ability than Matthew. So you're talking about a guy that still got drafted. You know, he didn't get drafted in the first round, but he still got drafted pretty high. So, I mean, you still should look for Matthew to be on the NFL roster. You know, he will be a nickel corner on somebody's roster. He's a great blitzing nickel corner, too. He's a great guy to blitz out of the nickel package. So, you know, he does have some skills. But like I said, he's not the greatest cover corner, and that's the only reason why he probably would not have had. He was never really considered a first-round grade because of his lack of cover skills.
Yeah, good point.
But LSU has, like I said, they have so much talent that they could they have guys waiting in the wing that can handle punt returns, kickoff returns, and they may have to play a few more freshmen at corner. We have to monitor that. But they're so strong up front, they're going to be able to put a lot of pressure on the passer, and they're going to be stopping the run. And then, like I said, they have the best free safety in the country, Eric Reed, who can kind of make up for that a little bit as well. And so they're just so loaded. I still think, I know a lot of you all may think I'm being a little biased, but that's just my opinion. I still think they're battling with USC in a national championship game down in Miami this year.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that definitely plays out. We'll monitor the situation, as Robert Ford said. Like I said, give us your thoughts. You know, don't forget, check us out. 12th Man on Twitter, obviously Facebook, call in at 424-243-9519. We're getting close to that two-minute warning, Robbie. We got about 3 minutes or so left in the show. I wanted to talk real quick about, obviously you heard what's going on with Mr. Chad Johnson, an incident that he had over this past weekend. He got arrested. He is no longer with the Dolphins. Kind of your thoughts about the situation, too. Obviously, Evan Lozada, not a good scenario. She's filing for divorce. And actually, I was watching Hard Knocks for the Dolphins, and it's got some mature language in there, so I'm not recommending everyone watch that. But very, very interesting show if you want to get some feedback on what's going on. But interesting situation. Is Chad Johnson going to be playing next year? What do you think is going to happen coming up for Mr. Ocho Johnson, if you will?
Well, it's a sad situation all around. Obviously, we don't know exactly, you know, what happened. You know, we can only go based off of what we've heard. About the headbutt, and you know she's got a lacerated cut on the forehead and everything, and you know, sad situation. I never condemn. You know, if it is true, obviously we don't condone, you know, men hitting women or even vice versa for that matter. And so it's definitely a sad situation all around. And you know, the divorce, of course, after 41 days. But I don't think Chad Johnson is going to be playing in the league next year. I mean, these NFL teams are just becoming really strict on character, and obviously this is just taking a hit. You know, some people are saying the Dolphins rushed to a decision. You know, Philbin came out and said this is something that's been going on since June 11th. They've had incidents with him in the locker room. But I don't foresee him being on the NFL roster this season. And VH1 cut their reality show as well.
Yeah, everyone's cutting it. Real quick, we got about 90 seconds, Rob. Let's talk about what we're going to talk about in the OT and set up the show for next week. I do want to mention we're going to talk, hopefully we can talk some, if you go, you know, check us out, we got about another 15 minutes left in the show. We're going to talk about the recap for the Olympics. And I got some questions for you, Rob. But again, let's go ahead and set up the show for next week. Thank you guys for joining us in all the fantasy sports leagues, and there's still room for the survival in the college pick'em as well.
Yes, definitely stay tuned. Listen to how you can sign up for our survival and college pick'em league. Tune in tomorrow so you can listen in to our OT show. But definitely next week we're going to be continuing to talk NFL. We're going to be continuing to talk fantasy. We're going to continue to talk about all the hot topics in sports. So definitely tune in next Wednesday, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern. Like us on Facebook. And by the way, I'm wearing the Giants hat for those of you on the Bay Area on our Facebook page. And so like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. Good night, America.
Good night, people, and we appreciate, like I said, just thank you for everyone for joining the league. If we get enough feedback, definitely let us know. We'll add a second league. But for now, The slots are full for fantasy, but we'll still keep it going. See you guys next week, same time, same channel. Talk soon. I was waiting for Rob to say good night, people. We're all good. We're all good. We are definitely in the OT portion of the show, and we got a lot to talk about. We got about a good 50 minutes to stretch, and maybe we can stretch this in the next week too, Rob. You want to talk about the recap in week one of the preseason, or do you want to save that for next week? I'm leaving that kind of in your wheelhouse.
Well, I think we can kind of touch on that really quickly here. There's just a couple of things that I kind of want to capture from the first week of the preseason. I mean, preseason, of course, you know, the main thing I try to look for is how some of the younger players, a lot of the rookies are looking and things of that nature. You know, of course, you can't quite tell what kind of team, you know, or any of these teams are going to have just yet, you know, just off of one or two preseason games. But the main things I want to take a look at was Andrew Luck and RG3. And
yeah.
I have to say that I think both of them were very impressive. I think Luck was even slightly more impressive. You know, he had great command of his offense, throwing the ball downfield. And I have to give him a lot of credit. He looks like the real deal. And, you know, I even mentioned to you, you were in a survival football league. I was kind of leaning toward picking those Chicago Bears in the first week. But I'm not so sure that's a safe pick the way Andrew Luck looked. But, you know, there's still three more preseason games to do some evaluation on him. And so we'll kind of see how he does. But I was also impressed with RG3. I thought he had solid command of his offense. You know, he finally led his team to a touchdown drive on his third drive. They both looked very composed. That's another thing I was impressed with as well. They had composure in the pocket. It didn't look like it was too big for him. And they look like they have a great command. And I think both of those young men are in great situations. And I said it before, RG3, I think he's a perfect QB for Mike Shanahan offense. You know, he likes to run those bootlegs and sprint outs. And Robert Griffin III is the perfect quarterback for that offense.
Yeah, and that's funny, too. And also jumping back to Andrew Luck, it's funny how you mentioned about Chicago, too, that they're playing that first game for the Survival League. And it is very interesting, too, because, you know, obviously with you keep hearing the news about Brian Urlacher getting that surgery, and he said he'd be available for the first game of the season, but you just don't know if he's going to be the same effective guy, too. So, you know, if you're Chicago, this is a scary game. I'm not saying Andrew Luck is going to do that, but this is – he has enough to say, okay, this guy may – you know, as you mentioned, he's a franchise quarterback, and he's definitely living up to the expectations. It's the first preseason game. We've got to definitely temper that. But as you mentioned, he's very composed, not too big for the moment. He does have some weapons, and Reggie Wayne still playing with them. And you know, they're a young team, so this is going to be very, very interesting to see how Luck develops. And same thing with the RG3. I don't like his comment at the end of the game that he said he didn't get hit and, you know, it looked kind of easy. But right now, Mr. RG3, they're definitely going to start game planning for you, too. So you definitely have to be prepared. And I'm sure he's going to definitely fit into the league without any problems whatsoever.
Yeah, my Saints, they're going to be ready for your first game of the season, RG3.
They're going to be ready.
Look out. Spagnuolo going to be ready for you.
Wow, no doubt. Another guy, I don't know if you had a chance to watch the Kansas City game. I was actually impressed with Ricky Stanzi. I don't know if you had a chance to watch that. He played very, very well. Tannehill played pretty good for the Dolphins, too. I don't know if it obviously had to do with him knowing the offense, too. But, you know, we'll talk about that, obviously, next week as far as how it progresses, too. But, you know, these young quarterbacks, they seem like they're actually ready to go, too. So,
I was impressed with Matt Cassell being back with the Chiefs, too. I think he had a solid ball game as
Lee
well.
Too?
No, Matt Cassell. Yeah, Jared Lee as well. Yes.
Yeah.
That was he never looked that good at LSU. And, you know, he was in the better offense or getting better coaching down there in San Diego. But, yeah, he was slinging the ball around the field and definitely very impressed with him. And like I said, I think Matt Castle for the Chiefs, and that's a team that I actually think has a strong chance at winning at AFC West. I have them going number two right now behind Denver. But they look like they may have a strong running game. There's a lot of talent on that roster. And Matt Cassell being back, he looked good the first week of the preseason. And I think Romeo Crennel will definitely be coaching up that defense. So that's a team to watch. I mean, a couple of years ago they won the West. I think they're going to be right there contending, but I think they're going to just fall slightly behind the Broncos. Maybe they'll sneak in as a wild card.
Yep, sure. She like said, Cornell's got the team plan. They say he's been operating a very, very physical practice, keeping him in pads, too. So he's definitely trying to instill that to toughness as far as the Chiefs, too. So we'll see how they actually progress as well. Let's jump into a couple things I definitely want to say in about 5 or 6 minutes for some NFL recap. Excuse me, some Olympic recaps. Let's talk about, you made a comment as far as some teams that have the most and the least amount of depth. You want to jump and talk about this, what you kind of, your thoughts about this particular subject?
Yes, you know, just want to talk about some teams that, you know, can really go too deep at a lot of positions on their roster, and a few teams that are lacking depth in a lot of positions, and really don't see them going too far this year. First off, I'm going to talk about the Green Bay Packers. I think they're a team that has a lot of depth on their roster at a lot of positions. I think maybe the only positions that they may be lacking depth is running back and along the offensive line. They just went out and signed Cedric Benson to kind of help them with the running back position. But they have a lot of depth along the defensive line, loads of depth at linebackers and secondary positions. And their defense fell apart a little bit last year, but I think they've definitely increased their depth now. They got Nick Perry in the first round of the draft. They should be having bookend pass rushers with Nick Perry and now Clay Matthews. And so this is a team, of course, that had the best record in the NFL last year, and the Giants upset them in the playoffs. And you know, this is one of those teams I think has tremendous depth. The other team we're going to talk about, once again, we're giving the Bay Area a little bit of credit here, San Francisco 49ers. A team with a lot of depth, I believe, linebacker, corner, secondary, defensive line. I tell you, the only position they may be lacking depth is the quarterback position. I mean, they have weapons at wide receiver, offensive line, running back. I mean, this is a talented, talented roster. And I think it's one of maybe the most talented roster in the NFL. But Alex Smith, you know, brings them down just slightly. I mean, they don't have an elite quarterback. I tell you what, if this was an elite quarterback team, they would definitely be my prediction to win the Super Bowl this year. And but, of course, I think that's the only position. Alex Smith is adequate. He's not great. And but I think a great quarterback on this particular roster or a very good QB, you know, this would definitely be my pick to win the Super Bowl. They're just loads of talent. And Randy Moss going out there with the right attitude, teaching a lot of young wide receivers fundamentals of the game. Very impressed with his attitude so far. Hopefully he keeps that up. And so this is definitely a team. And I know y'all going to talk about me, but I got to talk about my New Orleans Saints too.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, so another team with lots of depth. New Orleans Saints going about 4 or 5 deep at running back, wide receiver, offensive line, tight end. And now there's just incredible depth at corner. I mean, we're going 5 deep at corner. They got a solid roster full of cornerbacks and linebackers, defensive line. And so the Saints have done a tremendous job building up. It's not much behind Drew Brees at quarterback, so you definitely got to keep him healthy. And, you know, we definitely got to keep him healthy to keep him in the game. We don't need to be seeing Chase Daniel taking snaps unless you're blowing out people in games. But definitely a team with a talented roster, very well stacked by Sean Payton and his regime, and great talent evaluators in the building. And so you're talking about another team with a lot of depth on the roster. And 3 teams we're going to talk about real quick, and then you can talk about your teams if you want to. And 3 teams that I think are lacking depth at a lot of positions: Oakland Raiders, Indianapolis Colts, Jacksonville Jaguars. And Mike Mularkey, he's got a job to do down in Jacksonville, building up that that program, building up that roster, and they're lacking depth at a lot of positions. The Maurice Jones-Drew holding out. Excuse me. And this is definitely a job that he's got his work cut out for him. They're lacking. I mean, the wide receiver depth, I mean, they did get Justin Blackmon in the draft, but they just do not have a lot of depth on that roster. I still see them being contending for that number one pick in the draft next year. In Indianapolis, even though they got Andrew Luck, and I think he's going to upgrade that team, but they're lacking at a lot of other positions on their roster. Offensive line, defensive line, linebackers. I mean, they're lacking talent. A lot of positions on that roster. And once again, I feel the same way about the Oakland Raiders. So the Bay Area, I give y'all one team in a good category and one in a bad.
It's funny how Rob gives you, like, one compliment and kind of gives you, like, a backhanded on the field for the RSI, too. So we'll see how that transpires. And I definitely kind of agree with you, and I don't have all the teams, you know, written out as far as you. I mean, I agree definitely with Jacksonville. Milwaukee's got a tough job. You know, it's not going to be good by any means for him, too. So, but, you know, like you said, Oakland, watching the preseason game, the first preseason game, which is, you know, it's a preseason game, obviously. Pryor didn't do as well as you thought. You know, obviously Carson Palmer had his challenges. Darren McFadden's been kind of injured. So we'll keep an eye on that situation too. But, you know, there's some teams that you definitely know for sure they're going to be in the hunt for it. The Colts are such a young team. Obviously having luck there, I think they'll start attracting some more free agents too, not only for offense but also for the defensive side too. So whenever you see that this guy is talented, you definitely want to extra hitch your wagon to him too. So they'll start to protect him. I think they're going to start to get some guys to help on that offensive line, getting him some more weapons, and they're going to start getting real, surprisingly, getting built back up, too. So I'm excited about the future if you're a Colts fan. And I'm a secret Colts fan because I'm from Indianapolis, too. I got to put that out there, too. So,
yeah. And I'll say this, you know, having a great quarterback can cover up a lot of things on your roster. And the Indianapolis Colts were weak. Their roster was kind of weak for many years, even when Peyton Manning was quarterback. But Peyton Manning was able to cover up so many of that team weaknesses. They were lacking depth on defense, even while Peyton was in his prime. But he was able to stay on the field, keep the offense of Andrew Luck, and keep the offense moving, keep the defense off the field. You could kind of cover up some of your team's deficiencies anytime you have a great quarterback. And if Luck can do that, even though his team is lacking depth, he can cover up some of those holes.
Gotcha. Real quick, I appreciate that. I'm going to switch gears on you, Rob, real quick, because we've got about 4 minutes. I definitely want to jump on this subject. I just want to recap and say congratulations to the United States, obviously, for the final Olympics, if that'll count. We were number one with 104 medals. China came number two with 88. Russia was three with 82, and Great Britain was fourth with 65. We're not going to jump into all the different particular medals, too, but I wanted to say something to you. Obviously, pretty big Olympic basketball. And get your thoughts, too. I think that, you know, obviously USA is still the king of that. But I think that the gap is closing. And I think eventually we're not going to be the number one getting the gold medals, you know, a couple of years now. I don't know your thoughts about that, too. And it's very interesting as well that coaches don't get gold medals. Obviously, I had a guy that commented that, you know, he was happy that Mike Krzyzewski did not get a gold medal. And I think it's because all these different secondary coaches and whatnot, there's so many gold medals to pass out. So only the athletes are getting those too, which is pretty interesting. But kind of your thoughts, Rob, do you think the gap is closing with the world and Olympic basketball?
Well, I still believe the United States is the best country. We're producing the best talent in basketball.
We will
still get more gold medals than not. But that being said, the rest of the country is producing some great players. But they're not producing as many as we are. I think the system that Jerry Colangelo has built with USA Basketball, building these teams and team-oriented, you know, picking a pool of players that involved in USA Basketball every summer, I think this is a great system that they've implemented, you know, after the 2004 Olympics. So this is, I think, a great system. I still think we're ahead of the rest of the country. Are we going to get some competitive games from time to time? Absolutely. I mean, you look at that Spain roster. You had two All-Stars in the Gasol brothers. You got a rising star in Serge Ibaka. And you got Jose Calderon, a guy who's been a solid point guard for many years in the NBA. Ricky Rubio, a guy that a lot of people feel can be an All-Star point guard. So, yes, but those Gasol guys are starting to get older, especially Paul. So, eventually, he's out of that Spain program. You look at Argentina. Their golden players are about to stop playing international basketball. Their program is about to go down a little bit. You got to watch Russia. They're coming up, but Andrei Kirilenko is getting a little older. So, you know, I still think, you know, ultimately we're still going to be at the top at least 90-95% of the time. Are we going to get some competitive games from some of these teams from time to time? Absolutely. And plus these other teams, they have a little bit more, slightly more continuity because these guys have been playing together for a long time, even going back to their teenage years. So that's the one thing that maybe they have. But the new system that Jerry Colangelo has put together, I think, has been very successful for USA basketball. They have to find a coach now, though.
Yeah, sure indeed. Well, good news. Like I said, we're wrapping up the show. Once again, we want to thank you guys for listening in. As always, we're here every Wednesday. Tell your friends, family.